The scripture this morning is taken from the Old Testament book, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now, this directly follows up the death of Moses at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And this is giving Joshua the charge to replace Moses as the leader of the people. So this is the Lord's charge to Joshua. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. You know, before I start my sermon, thought I'd just kind of address the thing that people keep staring at my face by. It's because this goatee is gone. And I haven't seen this face without it in 12 years. And then I only did it for a day. It's like, nope, and I grew it right back. But it's turning white. And this hair is not turning white yet. And so it just looked funny to me. And I tried coloring it. It makes my skin itch. So gone, it's gone. And so I just get used to it. And I look at the mirror and I have to go back. Oh, yeah, that is me. It just looks so different. Amazing how just a little change can change things. But welcome once again to the Living Water Church. You know, God is doing something today. He always does things, but he kind of let me in yesterday as I was going through my sermon that he wanted to do something unique today. He wanted to change some hearts. He wanted to break some chains. And so I hope you have just an open mind to what God might be doing in your life. It might be something that you don't even know you've got a thing with. It might be something that, you know, you start thinking, oh, so-and-so should be here, and then all the Holy Spirit says, nope, I'm talking to you, wake up. I've done that before, where I'm thinking, okay, this would be a great message for somebody else until the Holy Spirit says, no, you are the man who I'm talking to right now. And so if you just be open to what God might have and just allow some flexibility, God asked us to do a song after this sermon that the worship team's never done before. And so we're practicing this morning, and he doesn't do that very often, and so he's got something going on. But today we're starting a new series. It's just a very powerful series that I think it's going to be for us. It's called Courageous Living. It's biblical promises for facing my fears. And so if you haven't, I encourage you to grab your message notes and take out a pen or a pencil so you can take some notes along the way. And I know at least it's me to kind of stay focused. I hope it helps you. But as you're doing that, let me just kind of share the heart behind this series and why I kind of are doing this one now. There's just one of the dominant themes that came out of our culture because of COVID, and I'm sure it was there before, but it kind of amplified it, was challenges of dealing with worry, fear, stress, and anxiety. And these emotions have caused depression and discouragement just to skyrocket in our society. And these things rob us of hope and joy. They rob us of the life that God created us to live. So as we begin this series today, let me just ask you, as you kind of contemplate this, what fears are you dealing with in your life? What things kind of keep you up at night? What things settle in your heart and just kind of grip there and won't go away? What are those for you? A recent survey came out, and they tried to answer the question of what are the biggest human fears. And they found that there were six top fears as they kind of researched all these people. So I just thought I'd just go through these six fears. You know, the number six fear on the list is the fear of being alone. And I think that's a big fear for people in our society. That's a challenging one. The fifth fear is the fear of financial problems. And this is the one fear that on the list where men feared more than women. The fourth fear is the fear of bugs and snakes. And I imagine no one's dealing with that. I don't like snakes personally. Bugs are okay, but you know, maybe you deal with that fear. Third one is a fear of heights. Fear of heights. And then the second fear is the fear of death. It's fascinating that that's not number one, but that is the second biggest fear. And the first number one fear that we have as a human being is the fear of public speaking. The biggest fear out of all of them, even bigger than the fear of death. I found that amazing that that ended up being the number one fear that people deal with, is having to get up in front of people and talk. Now, maybe your biggest fear is in one of those top six. You know, but I want you to know that no matter how strong you are, we all have these things that limit us, these fears that we have, and they keep us from experiencing what God's best is for us. And so what are the fears that you were thinking about, maybe as you were even coming into church today? What fear is holding you back? Here's what I want you to know, that fear that you have right now, that fear is not from God. God doesn't want your life to be dominated by fear. God wants you to be strong. He wants you to be courageous. He wants you to be able to overcome these things. And so that's why we're doing this series called Courageous Living. We're turning to God's Word because we want to find His solutions to some of the biggest fears that are hurting us in life. And so during this series, we're going to look at five incredible stories from the Old Testament. Five stories of courage from just regular people, and we're going to see five promises that God gave for defeating our fear in each one of these stories. Five promises that if you believe them and if you embrace them, they'll give you the faith and courage to be able to move forward through whatever fears you're facing right now. So today I want to begin Courageous Living by looking at the first story that gives us the first promise, and that was a story by the name of Joshua. And I want to look at God's promise of power when you're afraid and when you don't feel strong enough or smart enough or whatever to handle whatever it is in your life that's being thrown at you. All right, so let me just kind of set the scene here for Joshua's story. God had used Moses to rescue the Israelites. They'd been in Egypt for 400 years. Eventually, they had become slaves in that country, and God led them out of Egypt, and they had moved towards the Promised Land. God had this land of blessing and a future of hope that He had planned for them, but because of fear, they were too afraid to follow God, and they were too afraid to cross the Jordan River, and they were too afraid to face their enemies and go into the land of promise that God had given them. And so instead of receiving God's blessing, the Israelites ended up walking around the desert for 40 years. In other words, fear dominated their lives and directed their decisions for a whole generation. So we pick up their story at the beginning of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And I'm just going to read the first couple of verses. We know Jan kind of read it for us already, and so I just want to look at the first two verses. It says, after the death of Moses, who was the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River and into the land I am giving them. What they had been afraid to do for 40 years, God is saying, now's the time. Now, I don't want you to miss this. They are very afraid still. Okay? Moses, their only leader that they had ever known and followed, he's dead. And now they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River again. And on the other side of that river is everything that God had promised them for their future. But standing between them and God's future for them is this thing of fear. Fear. There's an enemy on the other side of the river that they have been running from for the last 40 years. And so I want you to see that fear has this tendency to paralyze us. I mean, have you ever been in that situation? God asked you to do something. God points you in a direction. You felt that nudge of the Holy Spirit, but you were just too afraid to move forward. God asked you to make a career change, but you were just too afraid. You know, God asked you to risk a relationship, but that fear just stopped you from doing it. God asked you to share your God story with somebody, but you were just afraid. That fear, it kept you from opening your mouth. You're just afraid of what would happen, afraid of what you might lose if you said yes to God. So here in our story, the Israelites, they are afraid in this moment, but here's God's promise of power to them to give them courage to face their fear. It's our key verse for this week. It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This is also the key verse for our whole series. And so we'll be coming back to this verse. And I want us to just kind of read this out loud together, just with a lot of energy. Starts with, be strong in the Lord. And so let's see. This is my command. We'll start with that. Ready? This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do not be afraid. So this is what God is saying to Joshua. Yeah, you're afraid right now, but listen, be strong and courageous. Don't let your fear keep you from where I'm taking you. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God, he's with you wherever you're going to go. And the Israelites, they really felt insufficient for the task that God had given them. And they were looking at the possibility of dying if God didn't come through. I mean, there were some big battles ahead. There were some scary situations they were going to be faced with. They were not a trained army. They were looking at people who were much bigger than they were. And they had cities with huge walls. But God says, don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. I'm going with you. I'm going to give you power that you need to overcome that fear. And I don't think it helped when Joshua came up with the battle plan from God. We're going to go around that city 7 times and then we're going to shout. Okay, what's next? Nope, that's all. We're going to walk around that city 7 times and shout. And we'll win. That was the plan. Did that make any sense at all? But yet they didn't allow fear, even of the crazy things that God comes up with from time to time, to keep them from what he had for them. And that's what God is saying to you today. Whatever your fear is, he's telling you, don't be afraid. God has promised that he'll give you the power you need to accomplish his will, to do whatever he is asking you to do. So each week during this series, we're going to highlight a different promise from Scripture. It's going to help you defeat your fears, whatever that is. And so in the book of Joshua, that word promise comes 14 different times, and we see that God always comes through on his promises. And here's God's promise of power for Joshua and for you and me. And so write this down. God strengthens me to do his will. That's his promise. That God strengthens me to do his will. The first thing I want you to do is just kind of turn to the person next to you and say, God strengthens you to do his will. Would you just kind of turn to somebody and say that? God strengthens you to do his will. You know, we really need to believe that. Not just in our head. Because if we just believe it in our head, when we come up to the thing that we fear, we're just going to kind of blink. We're going to freeze. We're going to run. We got to get it down to our hearts that God will strengthen us if we take those steps. But don't get confused. This promise isn't that you're going to be smart enough or that you're going to be strong enough to handle whatever life throws at you, because you won't if you rely on your own strength, if you rely on your own talents. That's only going to get you so far. Eventually, you're going to be overwhelmed by it, by your fears. I'm talking about God's strength, not yours. The Holy Spirit working through you, not you doing your own thing and hoping the Holy Spirit blesses it. All right? So God isn't promising to strengthen you to do whatever it is that you want to do or to go down whatever path that you think is best. No, this promise is that God will strengthen you to follow him, God will strengthen you to do what he's asking you to do. And God's path isn't always the easiest path. In fact, I found it's usually the hardest path. The promise is that God will give us strength to do his will, his strength to overcome your fear, his strength to follow him boldly in your career or in your relationships or with your finances, his power to defeat fear and the obstacles that are keeping you from his best. So how do we experience the promise of God's power? Well, here's the first step that we've got to do. Seek God's will above all else. We can't get to this mind frame of mind where we're just going to kind of do our own thing and hope God can just be a little bit a part of our life. We got to seek God's will. We have to truly seek what God wants first, above all else. And so if I want God to give me the power to do his will, if I want God's power in my life, the first step then is that I got to know what God's will is. And to do that, I've got to seek it, to find his will. Joshua and the Israelites, they had a choice in this moment. They're standing on the banks of the Jordan River, across from the promised land. Across that river is everything that God had promised for them. But they're also terrified, you know, what's on that other side of the river. I mean, they had a choice. Are they going to listen to God and trust him to cross that river, or are they going to be driven back into the desert where they've been for the last 40 years by their fear and doubt? Which voice were they going to listen to? Later on, after this situation, Joshua comes back in his old age, and he describes the decision that's facing all of us as we seek God's will above everything else. We see this in Joshua 24:15. Look at what it says. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. You know, this really is a great question for all of us to consider today. If you're not going to serve God, if you're not going to follow him, if you're not going to go his way and seek what he wants for you, then who are you going to serve? If you're not going to seek God's will for your life, then whose voice are you going to choose to listen to instead? And here's why this is so important. Because if you live your life outside of God's will, God's power is not available to you. We really have to understand this. If you decide that you're going to live your life outside of what God wants for you and what he's calling you to do, then God's power is not going to be there. You're on your own. And I hear people say to me often, Pastor Todd, I'm struggling. I'm struggling just to get through life. I just don't have any joy. I feel like I don't have any purpose. I just feel stuck. And maybe these are some emotions that you're feeling. I think sometimes these emotions, not always, of course, but sometimes it's because we're living in that moment outside of God's will. And when you're outside of God's will for your life, life just becomes difficult, and it becomes emotionally draining, like you're living in this fog. Maybe you've noticed that. You buy things, and they just don't satisfy. You get the job you thought you always wanted, and it just doesn't fulfill. You're not motivated. You always feel emotionally and physically exhausted. And it feels like you're drowning sometimes. And a lot of times it's because you're seeking things other than what God wants for you. You know, maybe you're in a relationship that right now you just have no business being a part of that relationship. Maybe you're following a career path that you know in your heart it's not what God has for you. You know, maybe you're living a lifestyle right now. You're allowing things into your life that you know God is not pleased with. Maybe you've been kind of falling away from church. It's just been tough to get to church. Let me just say, it's no wonder you feel so physically, emotionally drained and fatigued. You're just outside of what God wants for you, what he's asking of you. Been living life without his power. And so what happens is we feel exhausted, and then we get mad at God. You know, we say, hey, God, what's going on here? Why is all these things not happening the way it should be? Why am I so exhausted? Why am I just not being where I think I should be? And God's reply is, where are you? You're the one that walked away. You're the one that's chosen to do your own thing. If you want my power, then do my will above everything else. When Joshua and the Israelites, when they chose to cross the Jordan River, God's power strengthened them. And God's power sustained them, and then they were victorious. But I want you to think for a moment, what would have happened if they said no to God? What if they decided they were just too afraid and they'd slipped back into the desert where they had been? Well, they would have lived another 40 years, another generation without God's power, without God's blessing in their life. The most dangerous place in the world for you is to be living life outside of God's will. Let me just say that again. The most dangerous place in the world for any of us to be is outside of what God has for us, what He's asking of us. Because when we're outside, then we don't receive His power to do what we need to do. And when we do, but when we choose to be in His will, that's when things just kind of start to flow. There's this spiritual flow that starts to happen where life starts to make sense and God begins to open doors and the Holy Spirit's working through you. You find yourself saying things in conversations you would have never thought to say. You find just God opening situations up and you just kind of saying yes to it and you're walking in ways and things are happening and it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. Because you're saying yes to Him. You're following. You're staying in the center. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." What you need to know that there are going to be these competing voices in your life. Other things trying to tell you what you ought to be doing. And there's always the temptation to do what you want instead of what God wants for you. But understand, when you ignore God's word and when you start to ignore God's voice, then you are deciding to go your own way and you're on your own and you no longer have God's power in your life. And there might be someone who's here today and you've just been losing some pretty big battles in your life. And maybe it's because, it's not necessarily because, but maybe it's because you're not seeking God's will. And because of that, you're living without God's power. But it doesn't have to be there. So the first step to experience the power of God in your life is to choose to seek God's will above all else. Here's the second. Some people find that the easy part. The second part is the hard part. Stand strong for what is right. Stand strong for what is right. When you seek God's will above all else, and then you start getting in on God's plan for your life, and God is strengthening you, God is blessing you, but along the way, you're going to face what I call a crisis of belief. A decision between what is right and what is wrong. Because what God asks you to do and what everyone else is doing is different. And so it's going to require you to take a stand, to have courage, to stand up for what is right. So Joshua and the Israelites, they set their fears aside, they crossed that Jordan River, they put God's will first, and God did strengthen them, God gave them the victory over Jericho, but even after they had faced several big decisions they had to make, and God was doing all these blessings and making it all work out, they had these moments of faith, then they had these moments of testing. And they were tested to compromise their beliefs and worship idols and gods in that land. And there were some that were tempted by wealth to keep some of the things God said don't keep. But God challenged them. Look what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. This is a theme. You know, He wants us to be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Would you underline that phrase? Do not deviate from them, turning neither to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Now, if you choose to follow God's will for your life, there's going to be these moments of crisis that will come. We live in a world that's not aligned to God's will. And at some point, you're going to be faced with a choice in life between what's right and what's wrong. Choose between God's will over what everyone else is doing. And that choice, that decision, it can be really hard. It can be just a very difficult thing to work through. You know, maybe you work for a law firm and you're asked to do something that's ethically wrong. It's maybe not illegal, but maybe it's just not morally the best thing to do. Maybe it's something that would hurt other people unnecessarily, but it will hurt your career. It could cost you money if you said no to it. As a follower of Jesus, you can't mix your values. You can't say, I'm going to do God's thing on Sunday, and then during the week, do it the world's way. If you want God's power, you have to stand strong for what is right. Or say you're a salesperson, and you're asked to fudge the numbers for an upcoming deal to get that contract signed. And you know that if you say you won't do it, it will hurt your career. You could even lose your job. It's hard, but if you want God's power, you have to stand strong for what is right. I wouldn't be surprised if several of us are dealing with a crisis of belief in some way or another. From fitting in with friends, to pressure to fudge the numbers on your taxes, to whatever you choose to watch on TV or listen to the radio, you know what's right. You know what God wants in your life, what he doesn't want there. And sometimes you have to be brave, even when it means you're standing alone. You want to follow God's will, but if you do, you might be all alone, and it might cost you something. But God promises if you're willing to stand for what is right, if you speak up when you see an injustice, if you live out your faith when it's not easy, God says, listen, I will go before you. I will give you the strength. I will help you be successful. And look, be under no illusion. It takes courage to truly follow Jesus, to be his disciple and stand strong for what is right, especially when no one else is doing it that's around you. But I want you to see God's promises when you do. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, here's the promise. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And so to experience God's power, that promise, first you seek God's will, and second, when you're at that moment of crisis, stand strong for what is right, and then here's the next step. Experience God's power is to stay faithful in spite of opposition. Stay faithful to God in spite of opposition. The Israelites, they faced some real opposition. 40 years earlier, they had stood on those same banks of the same river with the promised land on the other side, but the enemies across the Jordan River, they had walls. They had weapons the Israelites didn't have. They had a bigger army, and the Israelites, you know, they were slaves. They weren't a trained army, and they weren't trained for war. All they had ever known was being in Egypt. So instead of following God, they spent 40 years of their lives walking around in circles in the desert until most of them had died off. Now it's 40 years later. All right, Joshua, he's standing at that same river, and the same enemy, and the same walls, and the same fear, and the same choice. Will he be faithful? Will he move forward with God's Spirit in spite of opposition, or will he fall back in fear? Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. God's saying, nothing is going to stand against you. If you're following me, if you're doing my will, if this is what I've asked you to do, nothing can stand against you. You will not fail. I won't abandon you. And the truth is that we will face opposition when we live our life for Christ. When you stand for what's right, there is going to be some opposition for doing that. There'll be resistance. And then you have Satan, the enemy, who'll try to make a deal with you in those circumstances. And you know what he says? He says, if you'll stay in that corner, if you'll live your life like everyone else, if you don't make waves, if you don't live for God, don't try to make a difference, I'll then just leave you alone. I won't bother you. That's his deal that he tries to make with us. But if you make the decision that your life is going to count for something, that you're going to live courageously, I'm going to tell you, Satan, he's going to attack. And you will face some opposition. You'll face opposition because, you know what, Satan, he just wants to shut you up. He wants to put you back in that corner. He wants you to sit down, and he'll try to rob you of your joy, and he will try to take away your effectiveness. In this world, it's also going to tempt you. It's going to push you to deviate from God's path, from what's right. But God makes this same promise to you and I. If you will live for him, he will stay faithful to you. In spite of the resistance, in spite of the opposition, he will stay faithful. He'll be there for you. He will give you the strength. He will give you the power you need. And so, let me ask you, what kind of opposition are you facing right now? Or maybe what lie is Satan right now telling you, trying to keep you from standing up for what is right? Are you afraid of what others will think of you if you were to live boldly for Jesus? Are you afraid it might hurt your career if you were to talk about your faith at work? or for you to stand up for an injustice that you've witnessed. What opposition is Satan throwing at you to get you to back down? Look at Jesus' promise when you're facing opposition from Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. He says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you are my followers. He says, you're blessed. If people are attacking you, if you're facing resistance because of your faith, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the power and strength. He says, be happy about it. That's a challenge. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the very same way. Yes, living for Jesus, it requires courage. But when you're willing to do his will, God is going to give you that strength you need. And when you face that opposition against doing those things, whether it's at work or with your family, school, wherever you face opposition, he says you can be happy about it because God is going to be there. He'll give you the courage you need, and he's going to bless you for going through it. And then there are these eternal rewards waiting for you in heaven because you stood strong when you faced that opposition. I love that. So here's the final step to experiencing God's power. You know, write this in, step boldly. Be bold about it. Step boldly in the direction God leads. Step boldly in the direction God leads. Here's the thing. God wants us to be bold. He wants you to step boldly into the future that he has for you. So here are God's instructions to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, he says, here it is again. Be what? Be strong. And what? Be courageous, right? There's those things again. Underline those words. It says, be strong and courageous. I want you to understand that fear that's in your life right now, that's not from God. God's saying, don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous, for you are the ones who will lead the people to possess the land that I swore to their ancestors I will give them. And guess what? Joshua did it. He was bold. He led those Israelites across the Jordan River. In the face of opposition, in spite of difficulty and all the crazy ideas that God had, he stepped boldly and God did the thing, and he was leading and he empowered them to do amazing things. And here's the point. God makes some incredible promises to us in his word, but you've got to be bold about them. You have to be willing. You have to step into it. You have to take hold of it. We have to be willing, as God says, here's my promise, but you got to be willing to move forward and work for those promises in the face of opposition that comes at you. And the truth is that some of us have a bad case of what I call if I just hads. You know what I'm talking about? If I just hads. You're facing a big fear or opposition in your life. You say, well, God, I could, you know, get through this if I just had something else. God, if I just had more money, then this wouldn't be a problem. God, if I just had the right job, then I'd be able to do that. If I just had a husband or a wife, God, if I just had this degree, whatever it might be that we come up with, that means we couldn't do what God possibly is asking us to do. And instead of saying, you know, Joshua, when he came up to this moment of decision saying, hey, God, look at all the things we don't have. He said, look at what we've got. We've got God, and God is all that we need to be bold, to cross that Jordan River, and to win. Let's do this. And right now, you don't need anything else in your life to step into the future that God has for you, planned for you. You just need God. So trust him. Be willing to take those steps of faith. He's going to provide. He will see you through. He will protect you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul writes these words. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. What has he not given us? He hasn't given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Would you just go ahead and cross out those words in that verse? God has not given those things to us. That is not from God. He does not give those things to you. What he does give us, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Circle that word, power. He doesn't give you fear. He gives you power. So let me ask you this. Where do you need to be bold today? Where do you need to step? Where is that nudge of the Holy Spirit that he's taking you towards? What step in your life is God giving you some direction and you need to boldly go into that place? What step of action is God asking you to take even today? If you take a moment, just grab your connection card and flip this thing over to the back to the next steps. You know, maybe for you, you just need to take a next step. Maybe it's the second one and pray and ask for God's power to defeat this fear and just name that fear. You know, if you want us to pray for you about whatever this fear is, put that connection card in the offering plate and I will be praying for you as you are dealing with that fear in your life. Or maybe for you it might be that just to make the commitment, I'm going to be a part of this teaching series. You know, God's speaking to me about this fear thing and I need to take it on and I need to be a part of this series. Or maybe for you, you need to make the ultimate next step. And you need to accept Christ into your life. Step over that line of faith. Finally decide to give your heart to Jesus. Say yes to him. And begin a relationship. Everything we talked about today is possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus will give you the power to overcome your fears. And so today I want to do something a little bit different than what we usually do. And this is going to take a little bit of courage on your part, kind of going along with the sermon. But I believe there's some people who would like to be anointed to break some strong things that are happening in your life. And it might be that you want an anointing for someone else. It might be that there is a family member, a friend that you know are facing some difficult fears and you just want to be anointed for them. Or maybe you want to be anointed for yourself. But what I'd like to do is the worship team is going to come up right now, and Tommy's going to let Patty know. They're going to come up, and I'm going to say a prayer. And then we're going to sing a song. Now, this song is one that as I was going through my sermon, God just gave this song to me. I started singing it, and then I sensed God was saying, no, this is a song for today. And it's like, God, we haven't practiced this song. And he, you know, he didn't care. So, and so he had reasons for this song for today. It's a powerful, powerful song. And as we're singing this song, if you would like to be anointed, I'm just going to encourage you to come up and sit on one of these chairs. And I'm going to ask those who would like to stand alongside them when we come to the anointing just to kind of surround them. And we're going to anoint some people to have some chains broken in lives, to have some healing, whether it's for you or if it's for someone else in your life that you know needs to have this. And so we're going to do that at this time. Let me pray first, and then we'll sing this song. Heavenly Father, fear is a very tricky thing because we like to call it something else. We don't like to admit that we've got fear. So we call it apprehension. We call it being wise. We call it a lot of things that give us the excuse to not step into the things that you're asking us to do. So God, I just pray that you'd give us a spiritual mirror. Would you just show us what's inside our hearts right now? What is it that you're putting your finger on? It might be something that was 20 years ago, a fear that kept you from being faithful in a certain circumstance. God, it's time to deal with that. It might be something that you're dealing with right now, a person you need to go talk to, but you just not want to do it. Someone God's wanting you to share your story with, and you've thought of every excuse in the book to not do it. God's asking you to make a tough, tough decision that you know is going to cost you. What you don't know is on the other side of that, the blessing that God wants to put in your life because you were faithful through that process. Give us courage, God. Help us to be bold. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.